It's the Lost Years Pod. Lost Years Pod. Running through this show called Boy Meets World is what we're doing. Sid and Tay are your friends who will always stand by you. It's the Lost Years Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Lost Years, a retrospective fan cast. I'm Sid.
I'm Tay.
Welcome to season 5, episode 18.
We are doing a podcast again.
Yeah, we haven't done this in like a month.
Month and some days, yes. Yeah, something like a month and a half.
Very yikes. We're back.
We're back. For you guys, hopefully there's been no gap in programming. I don't think so. I mean, 2 weeks, but like generally speaking, no gap in programming.
Yeah, and there will never be until we have another thing that comes
up. I was going to say, hold on. We don't know that for sure.
Just strict schedules.
No. Listen, it's very hard to do a podcast when you have a full-time job and live in different places.
Yes, this is true.
Doing our best.
So we won't break any promises to you. Instead, we're just going to bring you a cool episode because this one's really, really, really good.
Very excited to talk about it. What are you nostalgic for this week?
The 2004 Detroit Pistons team.
I'm going to sit in silence and nod and smile at you.
Yep. So this team specifically was the 2004 NBA champions. And what is special to me and why I'm nostalgic for it, our team this year is record-breaking trash.
Yeah.
And it's really bad.
I actually looked this up yesterday because the Bulls are also really bad and they're only beating the Pistons because the Pistons are way worse.
Yeah, they're super bad. And so it's very funny because every time that they post a new score and they're the Pistons winning, everyone's like, I had to do a double take. Like, this is insane. But they're really bad.
Yeah, they're like 8-30 something. It's like an insane.
And so what gets me and why I'm nostalgic is that yesterday or this morning, they posted that they're doing a recognition of the 2004 team because it's been 20 years. And that made me freak out a little bit. But also I was like, yes, because they're the best team. And through my dad's company, we had season tickets during multiple seasons around that time. And so I got to go to so many of those games and a couple of the finals games. And NBA finals are crazy.
Yeah.
But it was such a cool environment. I had a lot of memories just going to games with my dad or going with my whole family or taking some friends along. There's like a whole big event that happened in 2004 that was called the Malice at the Palace, which is like a brawl that broke out at the end of one of the games between the players and the fans.
Oh, my. Oh, I remember that.
Yes. And that was my birthday. And I was there. And I was 9 years old. Ah. And so it was a very that game in particular was just interesting to go to. But we just spent like multiple weekends going to Pistons games and for like many years. And they were one of the coolest teams to watch. And like some of the best players that Detroit has ever had. And so it's very cool that they're being recognized. I'm very shocked still that it's already been 20 years. Because again, anytime that there's a number associated with something that I hold near and dear to my heart, I'm like, that's rough. Another one, Avatar The Last Airbender came out 19 years ago yesterday. So like, that's rough.
Now, why would you tell me
because
that?
Because I need you to also suffer with me.
That's mean.
Anyway. Yeah, I love that whole time. Like, I love all the hype videos from that time. Like, the intro videos that they do at basketball games were really fun. All of the whole vibe of it was great. I love when a city is also just very excited for their teams. Mm-hmm. And the Lions did it this year, but the Pistons are very much not. And so I'm nostalgic for the time when we all were. It was very cool.
None of my sports teams are good.
Yeah.
So
I've been there,
and
though,
I don't
too.
I don't care about most sports, so it's fine. But, like, the Bulls have been bad for a really long time. They were briefly good in 2021.
Yeah, because I came to visit, and we went to go watch a game.
Yes,
we were like,
because
we,
it was, like,
we
the
would like
first
to go to a
time
bar.
It was, like, the first time they went to the playoffs in ages.
Yeah.
And they fumbled it, of course, because they're I don't know what happened to them at the beginning of the season, but at the end of the season, they completely fell apart. And I just happened to be looking up the record because I bought a Bull shirt from Old Navy yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so cute. And it looks like really classic, like 90s era Bulls, which is really fun. And so I was like, what are they doing? Because I haven't heard anything. Because I stopped following them because they were bad. And they're bad. They're still bad this year. So Yeah. Sad for
but
me.
The Pistons are worse.
The Pistons are worse, which I did notice. I was shocked. I was like, I've never seen a record that low. That's crazy.
Yeah, no one has.
It's crazy.
It's literally the first time that it's ever happened, and it's so bad.
Yeah, it's so sad. But you know, we carry on.
Yeah. The best part is also, besides like people saying like, oh my god, this can't be real, my favorite posts or comments underneath when they post a score where they win is they're like, this is where we come back, like, this is the time,
it's coming,
a brand new Pistons team, we're gonna be good, and then we immediately lose the next game and it's terrible. But yeah.
Oh man.
Not good bad. Time. The best part too, there was a Netflix documentary that they released. It was like Untold Stories, whatever. But they did one on Malice at the Palace. And I didn't know that there was, I mean, obviously it's a stadium, but I didn't know that they had like footage of this, like the fans all leaving. And I was scouring that with my parents, like eventually just being like, are we in this? We might be in this.
We
I don't know.
Was it like a fan through something at a player?
Okay. There was like the last minute of the basketball game, there was a fight of sorts, like a technical foul that was between the players, and then it got so heated, and then when Indiana was leaving, one of the fans threw a beer down at one of the players, and then he charged up into the stands. And so it was like a whole weird time.
Really insane.
Again, I was 9. I was scared. No one knew it was happening.
Pretty scary. I'd be scared too.
My name was on the board for my birthday at halftime, and then that happened at the end of the game. So like,
oh my god, what a just like insane experience.
Yeah, and my friend was there, and it was very strange. She was like, I think my cousin just ran back in there, and I was like, I have no idea. We're leaving.
Goodbye to your cousin forever. We'll never see him again.
Yeah, it was nuts. I was not in that documentary. I was very kind of bummed about that, but whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go sports. What are you nostalgic for?
My high school job.
All right.
I only had one job when I was in high school.
Me too.
Because, I mean, most people don't have more than one. You kind of just get a job and you're like, this is my job now. But I was very lucky in that my first ever job was actually just like wonderful and incredible. And I had very few to no issues. And it was at a family owned health food grocery store. It is no longer family owned. It was bought out by a chain grocery store, like health food store in my neighborhood when I was like in my early 20s at some point, which is pretty sad. We were all very sad about it.
Damn.
I had a bunch of friends who worked there. That is how I got the job. A bunch of my friends worked there, which was really great. And I started off, like, I interviewed to be a cashier, but then they needed people in body care. So I was doing body care for a little while. And then I remember one of the times I was at work, the store manager came up and was like, hey, just wanted to check in. Do you like body care? And I was like, no, I don't. I will be happy to do body care if you need me to do body care. Like, I can do it. I'm competent. I know the things. But I wanted to be a cashier. I came to be a cashier. And she was like, absolutely love that for you. We'll get that going in very soon.
Yes.
I was like, great. So I became a cashier and that was good. I really, like, I loved going to a place where I like had my systems and I just kind of knew how to do, like, I was very competent. I knew how to do everything.
Yeah.
And I had my days where I was at work. I knew my managers and like what, you know, what days I was working with which people and like who liked to go on break at this time and that time and all of this stuff. And it was like really so very lovely to like go to a job that I did not hate being in high school. And it was very close to my high school. So like I could come out of school, drive 15 minutes, go get food if I needed to. And I just really liked, basically everybody I worked with was really lovely. And so I went back a few times, like after I graduated high school to work. For a while, they were running this thing. I think up until it like changed, they were running this thing called Super Tuesday where all vitamins and minerals were 15% off. And that was a big day. It would be very busy. People would come in. So on days that like over the summer when I didn't have to be in school, I could work an 8-hour shift in Super Tuesday. And if you worked 8 hours, you got like a free gift certificate for like a certain amount. And you also got a 30-minute break because how work goes. And so it was really fun for me to like go in at 12 and leave at 8 and just like have my full day. And I would work the floor sometimes and I would work cashiering and I could bag for people. It was just like, I just like loved being at a job that was like so easy and so full of people that I like loved and cared about and like had my managers who I was like, some of them I was really good friends with. And it was just like a nice place to work. And I feel like of all the jobs that I've had, I've never worked at a place that was like felt. And maybe I was just like, maybe there was all sorts of problems that I didn't know on the back end, right? Like, sure. As you get older, you start to like see things or whatever. But it was just so lovely to work there and to work with my friends and to like have a very easy, cool job. We closed at 8. It was like, at the latest, if people were like really terrible and like looking and picking around the store, the latest I would be out of there is like 8:45. But it was almost never that bad. And we also had really fun closing music. At 7:45, we got to start playing music that I still to this day remember.
That's fun.
And it would announce like every 5 minutes until we closed that we were closing, which was nice. And yeah, man, I just miss it sometimes. I was thinking about it today. I was talking to one of my friends about the guy that worked there that I had a massive crush on, but he was like 23 and I was a child. And he was like really obsessed with being married. And so then I left. I graduated and was gone for like a month. And then I came back. And he was like, yeah, I'm married now. And I'm like, what do you mean? Last time we talked, you were mad at your girlfriend. Why are you married now? And so rip to that guy. I hope he's doing okay. But yeah, I love that place. I miss it. I wish it were exactly the way it was when I went to school and worked there. It's not. It's gone now.
There's something, too, about working for a smaller... not even smaller, but like not a corporate level or like a bigger company that is really special, because you can tell that they all actually care about their people too. Mm-hmm. And especially in that way. I mean, you're right. Like when you're in high school and you have a job, you're just like, I'm getting money. Like this, this is cool. And not necessarily thinking about like, man, work.
Right. Exactly.
This sucks. But yeah, I think that probably played into it.
Yeah.
I lifeguarded for a couple summers, and it's very funny to think about now because I'm like, would I do that? I don't know. But I was very big into like swimming in the summers. Like I was part of a team and everything, and outdoor swimming. And so it was kind of just standard that when you hit the age where you could be a lifeguard, it was like, you're gonna be a lifeguard,
right?
And I thought it was so cool though.
Yeah,
because you're like, I get to just sit up there, not really do anything. Like it was very rare to have a big issue. Which I never had to deal with. And I'm really grateful for that. I knew some people that did.
It'd be so scary.
Yeah. I'm grateful for the people that do actually do that, because it is pretty insane. Mm-hmm. But most of the time it was like you rotated between being on the stands. There were a couple of stands. And then you would man the front desk at one point. Which was always my favorite, because it's just like checking in. And everyone would be on this laptop and we would watch like videos. That was the summer that I got into American Horror Story. Like there were a lot of things where I was just like, yeah, let's all have fun. Let's do this. And or like manning the snack shack was like one of the things. So it was really fun to just deal with also cash registers and like having to do all of that. But just like for your little club. And it was very cool. When you had to close and everything, it was just like the people, like you're just there with them and you get to
go we're just hanging out. I loved closing a register. There was something about it. Like I was so systematic about it. And like there was a lot of like, okay, I want to be in this chair when we're closing so I don't have to reach like over with my right hand to do the little, because it was like very old classic like typing calculators where it's like pulling, it's like literally showing on a paper and you have to like do all the math. I loved doing that. I don't know why, but it was just like, I love the systematic nature of it. I love mindless, repetitive tasks. And I mean, it's a little bit mindful because you count your money and stuff, but like, I miss, it was so simple. I think I just miss the simplicity of it.
Yeah, it's like you knew exactly like, what your job was and it was going to be pretty much the same every single day.
And you had regulars and stuff. I had a regular who would come in and whenever she signed her credit card receipt, she would basically just do like a scribble. And I just loved the way it looked. I was like, I love you. Yeah. And then there was another regular that we had that would come in who would tip us sometimes.
That's
and
nice.
Like the first time she handed me money, I was like, and my manager was like, take it. And I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Yeah.
I miss easy jobs.
I know. It's literally just, I miss low consequence jobs.
Yeah.
Just like a little baby swiping cards, you know?
Well, and it's funny, you just say baby. Like looking, when I go to the pool now, when I go back to visit my parents or something, like they'll just bring me in as a guest because I'm definitely not a member there anymore. But like, I'll go in as a guest, and then I look at the lifeguard stand, and I think, those are tiny children.
They're
and
children.
They are in charge of my life if anything were to happen to me, and that is crazy.
Anytime I picked up my sister from school, and I see all these, like, teenagers driving cars, I'm like, is that what I look like? Because that's horrific. That's so scary.
It's so weird. But, yeah, they're in charge in some places, and that's freaky.
Yeah. Well, we've dilly-dallied enough.
Yes.
Do you want to get into it?
I very much would. Season 5, episode 18 is titled, If You Can't Be With the One You Love. The episode aired on March 6, 1998. It was directed by Alan Meyerson and was written by Gary Miller. And the synopsis is, Sean tries to help Corey stop drinking, but in the process, he begins drinking himself. Which is an interesting way to phrase it. But
yeah,
like,
I was going
to
say.
They're not wrong.
Not quite what happens.
Which the best part is that we get to talk about it and why it's kind of right and kind of wrong.
mostly wrong, like half wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. First scene. We are in the hallway. Sean and Corey walk out of class with Sean complaining about how boring it was. Just when I think it couldn't get any more boring. Feudalism. I'm beyond bored. I'm angry. Sean turns to a kid behind him and shoves him into a locker. And the kid says, feudalism? And Sean's like, uh-huh. The kid pats him on the shoulder and walks away. We see Corey watching Topanga and a friend walk and talk out of class as well. He calls to her, have a nice weekend, Topanga. She turns and smiles kindly and says, you too, Corey. Corey goes, Sean, did you hear how she said you too, Corey? I mean, there was a coldness there. Sean goes, there was not. And Corey yells, nonsense. I could practically see your breath. Sean, why isn't she suffering as much as I am? Sean's like, Corey, she's suffering. She's just doing it with something that you know nothing about. Corey goes, feudalism? And behind him, a jock pushes another jock into a locker. And Sean says, no, dignity. Topanga's handling this breakup with dignity. Well, you, Norton, are a train wreck. This is a reference to something, I imagine. I don't know what it is. Corey's like, I'm dignified. Sean rebuts, you burst into tears every 3, 2, 1. Corey now crying, y'all stop exaggerating. He sits down on the couch and Sean says, Corey, who carries these things around? He's like pulling a handkerchief from his books. What did you do? Dig up your grandfather and pick his pockets? Corey says, Grandpa Poppy. He always had seeds in his teeth, and that's why we call him Poppy. Sean sits down next to him and scoffs. Ugh, you're depressing. You're depressing to be around. That's why you're not invited to Kimberly Sussman's party tonight. Corey's like, wait a minute. Kimberly Sussman's having a party tonight? Sean says, yeah, to celebrate her new nose. Like, the whole world's going. Corey's like, I'm sure if I wasn't invited, Sean, it's probably due to some tremendous oversight. Sean goes, to 7:30 sharp, and whatever you do, don't tell Corey. Sound like an oversight? The word's out on you, man. Nobody wants to be around Corey the downer. 3, 2, 1. Corey cries again, including you. Sean gets up and goes, I'm getting there. As he walks away, Corey stands and calls after him. Sean, listen, you think I like myself like this, okay? I don't. I don't blame everyone for not wanting to be around me. I don't want to be around me either. He sits back down as a music stinger plays and he finishes, I'm done with me. And that is the end of the scene.
This is very sad.
What's going to happen to Corey? Well, we kind of already know.
The synopsis kind of gave it away. I like how this episode starts because breakups in general are just very hard. And I think in high school, they're also really hard because everybody knows you and you all have to be in the same area at one time. Mm-hmm. And so this is the first time, I will say first time, like they kind of interacted in the last episode, but last episode was also different than every of the other ones. Yeah. Mostly a dream.
Yeah.
But this is kind of one of the first times that we've also seen these two interacting post breakup. Mm-hmm. And they're both putting on that front or just like trying to be nice to one another. And she could be also very upset. And I'm sure that she is extremely upset, but like not showing it in the way that Sean is agreeing. Like, no, she's suffering with dignity, though. Like she's okay on the exterior, but she could be upset. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Corey is just a very emotional boy, which is also fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a bummer that they're like, oh, you're such a downer. No one wants to be around you.
Yeah.
Like he and his girlfriend who he just thought that he was going to spend the rest of his life with just broke up everybody.
Yeah, his girlfriend of like 7 years.
Sorry, he's upset. Sorry.
He's sad.
But yeah, I do think it's really sad. Like he's not doing well. And then for everybody to be like, everybody be there except Corey is just also a bummer.
The fact that she invited everybody and not him is like so wild.
It's so mean
because the idea that like nobody invites everybody to a party,
no,
you know,
and not everybody's gonna go to the party,
right? Exactly. To say just don't tell this person is so brutal.
And then also for Sean to be like, hey, everybody except you is gonna be there, mm-hmm, was kind of mean.
It was mean. He's not being a very good friend in this moment.
No.
To also be like, he's like, nobody wants to be around Corey the downer. And he's like, including you. And he's like, I'm getting there. That sucks.
And then just leaves.
Like, and then leaves.
But yeah, I think it's very sad for then Corey to also, you know, kind of realize like no one wants to be around me and I don't want to be around me. It's
so sad. It's so hard. That's such a sad and hard thing to feel. Like I am also done with me. Like I'm over it, you know? Ugh, it just sucks. It makes me so sad for him.
And it's sad because I feel like out of Corey and Topanga, everybody really like noticed and cared for Topanga, and then like while they were dating it was kind of like, oh, they were the item. Like Corey was never the guy that was like everybody sought out him, you know?
That's true.
And so it's a bummer that it's like, especially now that they're done, it's like, wow, now no one really wants to be around me.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's, I feel bad for him. I don't typically feel bad for Corey, but like I feel bad for him in this episode.
It's, man, I really, really like the arc of this episode because of...
Me too.
There's just so much to get into. I'm really, really excited to talk
about it. I will say, halfway through this episode, I thought, there's more?
Yes, I know. Which is awesome. And I noted that too when we talked about it. Okay. So the next scene, we are at Kimberly's party. Kimberly walks over to Angela, who she was like talking to Sean, and walks over to Angela and says, so now that you're going out with Sean, does this mean I can't dance with him tonight? Angela says, oh, you can dance with him all you want, Kimberly, but he'll be going home with me. The captions here literally say insincere giggles, like after she says that, which I think is great. Corey then walks in the door. Kimberly goes over to him and asks, what are you doing here? He says, I'm crashing the party. She tells him to get out. And he's like, say that again. She says, get out. And he says, you know who you look like, don't you? Bridget Fonda. She says, get out. He laughs. No, I'm serious. I mean, your old nose. It was fine. But now it's La Femme Nikita, baby. She relents. Look, as long as you're here, why don't you stay? I think Topanga's coming. He says, who? I'm sorry, but right now I can't see anybody past Kimberly Sussman Fonda. She giggles and kind of like shoves into him playfully. He pops what looks like a mint and then enters a party. And we get a quick fade transition here, but we'll continue. Corey is telling the story, sort of what happened to Sean in the Valentine's Day episode to a crowd of kids. And I have to step in and save Sean's butt because I have a way with women, as you can probably tell by the fact that I've never been more available in my life. Tickets go on sale at the box office. Everyone laughs and disperses. And Sean goes, okay, who are you and what have you done with Corey the Mope? Corey goes, Sean, it's me. Now, if you'll excuse me, Corey's got that groove thing going. He starts dancing with some girls as Topanga walks in. Corey, he turns and says, hey, the ex other half of my heart and soul. How's the family? He starts dancing again. She says, good. Corey, you look really not very cool. As she kind of just like watches him dance and he says, thanks, that's what I'm going for. See, they told me to relax and have a good time. And that's what I'm trying to do. She says, okay, well, I'm not going to stay very long. He says, stay as long as you'd like. She walks over to Angela and Kimberly, who watch this sort of exchange. And Angela's like, he's been like that since he got here. I got to say, he's the life of the party. Kimberly asks, so are you and Corey officially broken up? Because I think he's really cute. Topanga says, Corey's free to do whatever he wants. So are you. Angela, I'll talk to you later. Topanga heads back for the door, watching him as she goes and leaves. Kimberly starts, sounds like a yes to me. And Angela grabs her and says, you make one move on my best friend's man and that new nose is going to look like your old nose. Okay? Kimberly gives sort of like a fake smile and walks away. And Angela just like snaps and sort of dances and glares after her. It works better if you see it. This is a very visual thing. There's another quick transition, but this one is also short, so I'm going to finish it out. Corey's in the bathroom talking to himself in the mirror. Hey, I didn't know you were going to be here, but since you're the most exciting person here, I propose a toast. He lifts up a small bottle of what is clearly liquor and adds to us. He takes a sip, makes a face, and that is the end of the scene. Corey's drunk. He's drunk.
Oh, sweet boy. Yeah, first off, beginning of party, Angela looks great.
I love her hair in this episode.
And I just wanted to know. I also noted the insincere giggles because that cracked me up. I don't typically have captions on. I don't remember why I have captions on. I think it was because I was watching Hamilton this weekend and then trying to catch all the words. But that it just stayed. And then I was like, insincere giggles. And it happened twice, which is great. But immediately I could also tell what was going on because I'm like, he's flirting with the ladies. He's pretending like Topanga, of all people, doesn't exist in his life. And then he's just...
Or that she's like not important.
Yeah, which is wild.
Because he says like the ex-other half of my heart and soul. So there's bitterness, right, that he's like letting out, but he's also like, say as long as you like, I don't care.
Oh, but at the beginning when he's talking to the girl and he's like, who?
Yeah, that's right.
And then to get to the point of like telling the stories and everyone's around him and listening and laughing at his jokes, and then he's dancing, like very much not the Corey that we know.
Yeah.
And so it was just interesting to see this because it's also fun to see when the kid actors get to do something else that's not their character. And this is one of those moments for Ben, which I like. I did think it was extremely blunt of him to just say that to her face, to Topanga's face, about being the ex other half of mm-hmm. his heart and soul. Because mm-hmm. you can also tell that she's kind of hurt by it in the most subtle yeah. of ways.
There's like a little change in her face.
Yeah. And she's...
Which, great on Danielle.
Yeah. And she's also noticing that there's this shift in his behavior. And to even be like, I'm not even staying that long. Like, I don't want to stay. Because she didn't say anything like that before they were talking. And then she's like, well, I'm not going to stay. Like, that's...
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was her plan, but like...
I feel like part of it was like, I see that you're clearly having fun, so I don't want to stay and make it weird for you.
Yeah.
But then he's like, stay as long as you like. Like, he doesn't even care. And she's kind of like, okay. And then she goes and talks to Angela and Kimberly.
Yeah.
And Angela's like, he's having fun. And Kimberly says the thing. And she's like, I'm going to leave. This is weird.
That's a bummer too, because... Yeah. There's obviously, they're not close or whatever, Kimberly mm-hmm. and Topanga, because it's the first time that I've ever heard of Kimberly.
Right.
But also just admit to her, like, you guys are done, right? Like, yeah. I'm going to do something. And it's like, can you not? They also just had a very long relationship.
Yeah. Clearly she's not nice, right? Because she did the whole thing about Corey. But to also say this thing to, like, they were walking out of class and talking together. So they're friendly.
Yeah.
And like the fact that.
Oh, I guess she's that's true. Gonna, that like, is her at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, it's her at the beginning. Mm. But like to even say that to her face is just like so strange, especially because everybody knows Corey and Topanga.
Yeah,
like,
it was a big deal when they broke up. They had newspapers run the same day that they broke up.
So people know. And to be like, are you guys officially wrong enough? Because I think he's really cute. Like, chill out.
Just calm down. At least
ask
like
anyone else.
Yeah, just do it like while Topanga's also not there right, in front there. Of you. It's fine.
So strange.
That being said, when she does leave, Angela's sticking up for her. Loved it.
the best
because just very, very good friend. But Corey drinking is a brand new Corey that we've never seen, obviously. I was confused what he was doing in the mirror at first, because I thought that he was just like prepping to talk to people,
right?
And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, he's like toasting himself mm-hmm. because it's a new him, quote unquote. And it was underage drinking in that way, not great. I've never you don't see him drink ever before this, so it's mm-hmm. like it's a new thing to
no it's definitely yeah
new terrain.
Yes, it's very interesting, that last little scene with him in the mirror, because of like what we find out in a second, but like the fact that he is spending this time after being sort of the life of the party, going in and being alone and being like, okay, I need to like basically get my game face back on.
Yeah,
because it seems like he saw Topanga and then went into the bathroom to like, oh, but since you're here, I propose a toast. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, it's at the end of the last scene. I mean, he was just by himself and saying like, I don't like me. And then he's mm-hmm. flipping to this one at the end. He's like, all right, we're doing great now.
Like we're the most exciting person here. Yeah.
And it's sad because like you shouldn't have to have alcohol to do that. But, you know. I'm not going to say more.
I know. Yeah, there's so much to get to. Okay, so the next scene, we are still in the bathroom. Corey's still in there. He's eating a mint. Sean bangs on the door telling him to open up into the mirror. Corey says, it's Sean, my sidekick, and goes and opens the door. Sean goes, dude, you've been in here for like an hour and a half. Now, I'm very curious. Do you think this is a full hour and a half, or is he exaggerating?
This is what I said. Please let that be an exaggeration and not be true, because...
Because that's such a long time.
That's so long.
And for nobody else to be like, I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, in an hour and a half at a what I'm assuming is only a few hour long party. I don't. Mm-hmm. I hope it was just an exaggeration. And what I'm feeling is that it was an exaggeration, because it's like, why has my friend been along for a while?
Yeah, yeah.
And if it's been an hour and a half, and one, if no one went to the bathroom, but two, Sean just didn't notice that his friend
for an hour and a half
was gone.
Like, yeah. That's and a also, long time. An hour and a half is such a specific amount of time. Like, if he had been like, you've been in here for like an hour, I'd be like, oh yeah, that could be an exaggeration. But an hour and a half, like, why are you exaggerating in that long of a direction? Which makes me think that he's actually been in there for that long, but also why?
I'm going with the belief that it's just an exaggeration.
Yeah,
and it's just to be like, you've been in here for a while, but for some reason the writers were like, give it a time,
hour and a half. Maybe that was the exaggeration time in the 90s.
I don't know,
maybe. Corey says, are they asking for me? And Sean just says, Topanga left. Corey's like, she did? That's too bad. I was going to dance with her. He sort of like boogies over to a counter and Sean notices the liquor. Is that yours? Corey picks it up. This was given to me when I stole it from my father. You want? Sean's kind of amused. Wait a minute. Corey is the one holding the bottle. What's wrong with this picture? Corey goes, because you said nobody wanted to be around Corey the Downer. So now I'm not Corey the Downer. Want a drink? Sean's like, I told you to have fun, not put away a pint of whiskey. Corey butts, well, I am having a good time and I want you to have a good time too. So drink. I think this is, I'm sorry. I know we're going to talk about it more, but I really like this very specific scene where there are three different instances where Corey's like, drink with me, drink with me, drink with me. The peer pressure.
Well, and it's so interesting, like, not only just the peer pressure, and I know that we're about to talk about it, but just the writing of, like, this specific scene, because it's, like, there's so many ways that it can happen, mm-hmm. and just to, like, hear him also be that, you know, influence is such an interesting way to put it.
It's so, oh, I love it so much. Okay. Sean says, I don't need that. What's it taste like? And Corey goes, it's the foulest tasting stuff I've ever had. Here. Sean relents and takes the bottle. He smells it and makes a disgusted face and noise and goes, why would I want to do this? And Corey says, because your goody-goody friend Corey did it and you'll not be able to live with yourself unless you do it too. Sean, lifting the bottle to his lips, says, I'm not falling for that peer pressure crap. He drinks and says, oh, yikes. And Corey's like, I know, and such a small price to pay for its magical powers. They take turns drinking from the bottle back and forth and making weird noises a couple of times. And then Corey says, you know, I just can't understand why they don't sell this stuff to kids. I mean, and that is the end of the scene.
What a wild last line.
I know.
I don't get it.
I just don't get it. It's so funny.
Yeah, the fact that he stole from Alan, number mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. Again, this is one of the first times that you see something like him rebelling against his parents in a way.
Yes.
And so it's interesting. Surely there's no other conflict there. But I think, yeah, just talking about the peer pressure, it's a very true way of, like, there's so many ways to be pressured into doing something, even if you, not like Sean didn't want to do it, but like,
yeah.
It's cool that they did capture that as, like, it's not just one way of being like, do it, do it, do it. There can be different ways that you can ask or, like, say things, try mm-hmm. to persuade people. And I love that they did get that all in this scene. The fact that they are downing a pint of liquor that fast, I was like, what the hell?
And Corey's already had
a lot of it.
However much he's had. Yeah.
Yeah, to just, like, keep taking swigs. I got, like, weird flashbacks to college of like, things. But, yeah, I mean, turning to alcohol for fun. Like, alcohol can be fun and, like, fun times can be had while drinking. Yeah. Yeah. But when it means, like, repressing your feelings and just, like, drinking the hurt away, that's when it's like, oh, this is maybe a problem. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this very clearly is.
Yeah.
I like seeing when Sean is not the bad influence.
It's such a good role reversal. And I like that they call it out too. They're like, what, wait a minute. Like, you're the one doing this? What's wrong with this? I also really love that it starts with Corey, like, asking. He's like, do you want some? Do you want a drink? And then it mm-hmm. switches to him being like, here, you have to do it too. He clearly is, please do this with me.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is like, here, Sean, here, Sean, here, Sean.
Well, and then the third time he does it, he's like, your good friend did it. Now you have to do
you
it.
You have
like,
to do
that
it
is
too.
A very direct. Yes. I asked, I'm saying you should, and you're going to do it.
You're doing it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ugh. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's so of it. I just love this. Also, pointing this out, no B story this episode.
Yes, that's what I loved.
This is the storyline.
This is all
this
it.
This is the only thing we're dealing with. Okay. So the next scene, we're on a random street. The boys are clearly drunk. They're walking arms around each other. Corey says, this will forever be remembered as the night we peed on a police car. Sean says, pretty unbelievable, huh? They're like slurring. They're very drunk. Corey is like, normally I can't go and another guy's standing right next to me. Sean says, what a perfect target. I mean, I bet that's the reason they put those numbers on the roof. Corey says, I can't think of any other reason. He takes the bottle back out and says, well, here is to squad car 72, wherever you are. He starts to drink and like tries to finish it. And Sean takes it from, oh, no, 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 you're not going to finish that. He finishes it and says, ah, oh well, party's over. He tosses the bottle in the air and we hear glass shatter off screen. He says, gravity. And they start walking again. And Corey goes, hey, I was going to put flowers in that and present to our manga as a token of my steam. Sean laughs, wait, Corey, you just called her our manga. Corey's like, no, 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 not our manga, my manga. They laugh as a guy comes out of a corner liquor store, scratching a ticket and then ripping it up in frustration. Corey's like, no luck, huh? He says, those things never pay off. Sean asks, so why do you play? The guy says, I like losing. He starts to leave, but Corey stops him. How'd you like the chance to lose five more times? And holds up a bill. Guy says, five tickets only cost $5. That's a 10. Corey says, you buy yourself five lottery tickets and buy us a six pack with the change. Corey says, nah, if I buy beer for a minor, I can get arrested. You a cop? The boys laugh and Corey goes, do we look like cops? And the guy laughs and goes, stoic, do I? They look nervously at each other. The guy snatches the 10 and goes back inside the store. Then Sean does a little like walkie handstand, which is a moment just burned, seared into my brain forever. I love this. It's so impressive. Corey says, you know, Shawnee, I always thought that Topanga was the one person I could never live without. But she's gone and you're here and I'm alive. So it must be you. Sean says, I take a bullet for you. Corey says, no, Shawnee, I love you, and grabs him into a hug. Sean says, yeah, I love you too, Cor, and I'm not ashamed. The guy has come out of the store during this and is looking at them. And Sean says, now I'm ashamed. The guy says, it's okay, it's okay. My brother's also chosen an alternative lifestyle. He suspiciously hands them a brown paper bag and walks away. As he goes, Sean says, let's keep in touch. Corey's like, you know what I can't get over? When I left the house, I was almost half crocked and my dad didn't notice a thing. They start opening the beer and Sean says, that's what happens when you get up there in years. You start to lose your edge. Before they drink, Corey says, okay, wait, wait. This is a toast to the best friend in the whole world on the best night ever. They cheers and start to drink, but a cop car rolls up with its sirens on. They hide the beer behind their backs, and Sean says, oh no, it's Sipowicz, which I thought was a West Side Story reference, but it's an NYPD Blue reference.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Corey says, what is the name of the cop in West Side Story? It's also something like Polish.
Oh my God.
Krupke.
Yes. I was like, there's a whole song about it.
Yeah, yeah. I was singing the song in my head, and then I got to the part where they say Krupke. Corey says, stand very still and we won't get in trouble. Sean's like, why does that number look so familiar? The number on the top of the car is 72. And that is the end of the scene.
Oh, baby. They're doing crimes now.
They're doing crimes.
Like so many in a row.
Public indecency, public intoxication, like, getting somebody to buy them liquor, alcohol, that's illegal.
I even wrote, like, okay, they're also just drinking in public, too. Like, they're really just partaking in a whole night of debauchery. This is nuts. I mean, like, bribing a man to get them alcohol is also nuts. And I was thinking when they said, here's a 10, go buy 5 tickets and also a 6-pack, for that to all be $10?
90s, baby.
So jealous.
The 90s.
Yeah, Sean doing the handstand threw me off guard. I don't even know. It's like one of those where he was dancing in that one episode.
Yes,
he did, and like just started doing weird moves at the end.
Yeah,
this was that to me. But at the same time, I was like, that's also impressive if like they're drinking and him doing it.
Yeah.
But what I do like, what this scene captures, is that feeling that when you're drunk and you just want to tell everybody that you love them. Yeah. And it's sad that this is how they also had to do it, because they're not very open in this way.
No,
typically,
not quite. Yeah,
but. Again, the writing in this episode, I think, actually fits like how this would go down. And I do respect that a lot. And obviously they're going to get caught. They're just casually drinking in public, too. ow. My voice just cracked so weird that's going to be interesting to hear back in the recording.
Yeah, man. It's very interesting, right? Like they're doing little bits while they're drunk. He's like, oh, I was going to present those
Armanga.
To Armanga as a token of my steam, which I don't even know what word he was trying to say there. I think that's great. And also to be like doing these bits, and then also for Corey to be like, I thought it was Topanga, but it's you.
Yeah.
Because she left and I'm alive and you're still here.
It's like that admittance of like, I need you, Sean. Like, you're the best thing in my life is very...
It's like very sweet, but also... kind of sad.
Yeah.
And also for him to be like, I thought that I couldn't live without her and I'm alive, so I guess it's not her. There's like that little bit again, that's just like a little bit of bitterness in his drunkenness, which is like what he's trying to mask in that moment. And I really like the little ways that they're showing that, how they're doing, and there's more of it in the next scene, but I just love the way that they are just doing this drunkenness for Corey.
Yeah,
because it's always showing just like a little bit of what he's trying to tamp down. I think that's great.
Yeah, it is sad for him to also just admit being alive, his reason to live was Topanga, or like what he thought. It's very sad to admit,
it's so sad.
But like, especially when you're in high school and it's like, she's my reason. But like, apparently it's not my reason. You are. It's just like shifting it to someone else is very sad.
Yeah.
You're okay. It's going to be okay. It's just, it's hard right now.
Okay, I desperately want to get to this next scene. Mm-hmm. So we are in the Matthews kitchen. Alan walks in, followed by the boys, and Alan tells them to sit. He asks, so how does it feel to put one over on your parents? You feel good? Corey's like, no. Alan scoffs, I cannot believe that my kid stole liquor from my cabinet. Like somebody else's kid. He says this very pointedly at Sean. Amy asks if they've been charged with anything or if they'll have a record. Alan says, no, the charges were dropped because they're juveniles and there was no prior arrest. Amy says, Corey, this isn't you. And Alan yells, no, of course it isn't. Somebody influenced him. Didn't someone? Again, basically in Sean's face with this last part. Amy's like, Alan. And Corey says, no, Dad, you're completely wrong. I did this completely on my own. Alan says, come on, you're covering up for Sean like you always do. Corey says, no, I'm not. In fact, I'm the one who got him to drink. Sean interrupts him. No. Stop protecting me, Corey. Yeah, you know how lousy he's been feeling. Well, he wanted to feel good, and I showed him how. Corey's like, Sean, what are you doing? Alan says, I am sick and tired of overlooking the influence you have on my kid. Amy says, Alan, that's enough. Come into the other room. I want to talk to you. Alan hesitates but relents. That's probably a good idea. And they go. This is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It makes me so sad. Corey stands is like, Sean, why are you taking the rap for me? Sean says, because your dad's right, Corey. All our life you've had my back. Just let me take the heat this time. Corey says, but I'm the one who got us into trouble. Sean's like, I'm not in any trouble. You are. People expect this from me. I'm the screw up. You're Mr. Teenage America, especially in the eyes of your parents. They got you on this pedestal. I'm not going to let you fall off. Corey doesn't respond as his parents come back in the room. Alan starts, okay, this is what we think. First, we feel that you two need some time apart. Now, this doesn't mean the friendship is over. Corey says, no, forget it, Dad, okay? Forget it. I'm not doing that. Alan says, I'm not giving you the choice. Amy adds, Corey, you were drinking tonight. And Corey yells, I don't care, Mom. Dad drinks. Alan yells back, I am slightly over 21. And when I do drink, I drink responsibly. And when you are ready to do what I do, then you can get out of this house and get a job. He gets very in Corey's face when he says this. I think it's also maybe the most we've ever heard him actually yell.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. Amy asks, what if Kimberly's party wasn't within walking distance? Would you have driven? Corey's like, I wouldn't drink and drive, Mom. I'm not a moron. Amy rebuts, you peed on a cop car. How smart is that? Sean stands, I appreciate the lecture and thanks for coming to the station to pick me up, but you're not my parents. And yeah, I'll just stay away from Corey if that's what's going to put everything back to normal. He starts to leave and Corey goes, normal. You know, I just broke up with someone that I've spent my entire life with. I don't have a heart anymore. I've lost my life. So I went up to your liquor cabinet and I took a bottle of whiskey and I made Sean drink. Because I didn't want to be alone. Amy and Alan look at each other. And then Alan softens and starts, Sean. And Sean goes, forget it. And Alan says, no. I was worried about my kid. And I said some things that I shouldn't have. Sean says quietly, that's okay. And Alan says, it is not okay. And I apologize. The parents head over to the table. And Sean puts a hand on Corey's shoulder. He turns to him and says, no more drinking. Sean agrees, yeah, no more drinking. And that's the end of the scene. But we're only just halfway through the episode. So I wonder what's going to happen now.
Yeah, it's so sad. There are so many subtle things that happen in the scene that I was like, oh, this is hitting so much deeper, too, when you, like, really think about it. Because Alan just looking directly at Sean right at the beginning, I was like, oh, it's no. He thinks it's him. And it's so sad. And you can see, like, Sean looks hurt by that. Because
he
it's,
does.
Like, this
he
is,
looks really devastated
this
by
This is
it.
My best friend's dad, who's also...
And he also loves his parents.
Yes. And the Matthews have also loved Sean. And they've helped Sean through multiple things. And so it's really sad to be like... This one time that Corey gets in trouble in this way, this is a very serious subject and we're talking about it, is automatically Sean's fault. It's like after everything that they went through, it makes me really sad that he would immediately clock that as being Sean.
Yeah.
And it keeps happening. Like they keep believing it just throughout this episode or this scene, I mean. Mm-hmm. And it breaks my heart that Sean just taking the blame for it instead of trying to retaliate that too.
Yeah.
And to his reasoning for it is so sad where it's just they... love you, they respect you, I don't want that image to be hurt. It's like, Sean, but your image shouldn't be hurt either.
Not at the detriment of
no,
it sucks so bad.
I really appreciated Amy also just pulling him aside and like going to talk about it, because I was like, thank God.
I find their dynamic so interesting. This has happened several times where like Alan will get really mad and Amy will be like, yo, chill out. And like they have that balance, right? But like also the whole time that Alan is yelling, Amy's like, Alan, chill out. Like, Alan, that's enough. And then to go into the other room, I really appreciate the idea that despite the fact that she does not like the way that he is behaving, she's like, let's go talk about this somewhere else. And then they come back and they present a united front.
Yeah.
Of like, we think this, which I really, that is good marriage.
Yeah.
Even despite the fact that Alan is obviously really wrong from, like, we know Alan is really wrong from our perspective, right? He's obviously very scared.
Yeah.
Doesn't want bad things to be happening. And he's like, this doesn't make sense. So who does this make sense about? Sean is the troubled kid, quote unquote. It's got to be him. It can't be my Corey. Like, it's got to be him.
Yeah.
And so I get that. Like, I get it. But I'm also like, listen to what they're saying, you know?
Yeah.
There's so many things in this scene that I'm like, I love it. I love it. Ah, it makes me sad, but I love it. Ah.
Well, and like him coming back, cooling off a bit and then being like, we do think this. It's not that your friendship is over. We just need you to have some time apart. It's like also a very valid thing when you have no idea what's going on.
Right.
My kids have been good. These kids have been good. And then all of a sudden it's like, this is very extreme. This is out of nowhere. Could have been like worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Something bad really happening.
So much worse. Yeah.
And so I get the reaction for sure. And for Corey then to be like, you know what? No. Like, I appreciated that he took a stand, but I was like, not the time, dude.
It's also, yeah, the argument, I don't care, dad drinks too.
That was like ridiculous to me.
It's such a bad argument.
Corey, he's an adult. Yeah, you are in high school and certainly not of age. And you've done, technically, how we just said, crime after crime.
Crime outside. After crime. And you got off with nothing. You're so lucky.
To get off doing nothing, it makes sense. And Alan kind of frightened me a little bit.
Yeah, his anger is very scary.
Because, like, I know that he's also kind of had anger problems in the past. But this is the first time where you're like, okay, this is a very serious subject matter.
Yeah.
And we're going to get right up in your face about it. And we're going to freak you out. And that's the whole point of that. But I don't know. Sean just like still being apologetic because it's not his fault. I mean,
no,
certainly not his fault, but like really just accepting that and then just leaving, getting back to normal. That line kind of broke me a bit too, because I'm like, you're normal. Corey's normal is like you two being together. And for it to be like, everything's going to be back to normal and like you don't have to worry about it. It's just like, I'll go back to being that stereotype. That's fine.
Exactly.
That's so sad.
It's devastating. It's absolutely devastating. I do appreciate that. Okay, so, oh God, I have so many things I want to say. So Corey saying, I lost my life, like I don't have a heart anymore, really like digging into actually how sad he has been about this breakup. Because obviously when Topanga moved away, we know how depressed he was then.
Yeah.
This breakup, we haven't seen quite that. It's sort of been played for a joke. Corey the moat, Corey the downer, whatever. But like he's actually so sad about this. And we are just now getting to see really what he's thinking, what he's feeling about it.
Yeah. And I feel like part of it goes with he's been drinking and he'll just like say stuff because that's typically what happens.
Yeah.
Even if we don't want it to, that's something that happens. And so for him to just also admit that after people have tried to repress him being sad or want him to stop being sad, it's like, I've not even been fully sad. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that I'm sad.
And also to be like so honest of, I did it. I made Sean drink because I didn't want to be alone.
Yeah.
Because we saw that. We saw him pushing it on him and being like, do you want?
Yeah.
And so for him to be like, this is on me. Mm-hmm. Do not blame Sean. This is not Sean's fault. And also to have Alan very earnestly apologize to Sean for his behavior.
I did love that.
Beautiful.
It was like so succinct too. It was not overdoing any of the words. It was just, I was worried. I said things that I definitely shouldn't have. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And that's
it. Not okay. And I apologize.
Yes. So
parents don't apologize to children.
No.
Not in the 90s. They didn't.
Well, yeah. Because it's always like they know best and like everything and the kids are learning. But Sean just got so disrespected in that moment too. And it's so nice for him to be like, you know what? No. And for Sean, like he just kind of brushed it off too. He was being like,
it's
okay.
He kept to being like, it's fine. It's okay. Forget about it.
No, it's not okay.
And he was like, it's not okay. I apologize. I am sorry I said that to you.
And then just walked away. I was like,
it's so, it's so good. It's such good writing. It's so rare. And it's like really good parenting, like an example of parenting to be like, if you say something wrong to your kid, it's okay. Like you are also a human.
Yeah.
You can apologize to your kid without it meaning that you are like, I don't know, terrible or like a bad parent. Like it's okay to apologize.
Yeah.
It's okay to make mistakes if you're a human. Even if you're a parent, parents make mistakes too. It's okay to apologize. This is obviously, this isn't hitting close to home at all. You know, I'm totally fine. I just, man. I just really, really love this whole scene. As much as like the Alan anger really kind of freaks me out, which we've seen, again, we've seen before.
I feel like it was needed in the scene for sure.
No, just and to it be makes like... sense in the context, right?
Yeah.
Like he's so scared, especially for men in the 90s. Like, and Amy also gets mad. Like she yells too. It's very different than Alan's anger because she is not big and imposing, but she's also yelling like you peed on a cop car. How smart is that? You know? So there's these layers. There's so much like nuance in this scene. I just love it so much. I love this episode.
Well, and I think this is a very interesting thing that while you were saying that, I was just thinking of this parallel. Corey is masking his feelings by like drinking and which not great. And Alan is like masking how scared he is by just like yelling back.
Yelling.
And that's just them going at each other because of that. It's just very interesting. Cause like at the end of the scene, when he does this apology and he goes to sit down, you can tell just based on how William Russ is also acting, he's like fidgeting. Like he's just very upset and like nervous and just mad, but still scared that like something was happening to his kid.
Yeah. He's worried about it still.
It's just cool. I like that they captured all of that in this one 5-10 minute block, whatever this was, like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Nuts.
It's beautiful. We're already an hour in almost. We gotta...
Yeah, we gotta go.
Okay. So the next scene, we are in Phoebe's class. Corey sits down in his normal seat and says, Topanga, listen about Friday night. And she interrupts him, says, Corey, you don't need to apologize to me. Which I don't like that she assumed he was going to apologize.
Yeah, he didn't have anything to apologize
about. He really didn't do anything wrong to you specifically.
No.
He says, well, no. There was a reason I was acting so strange. And she says, I don't really care. And turns back around. He's like, you don't? And she says, no. And he's confused but says, okay. She turns back around. It's okay with you that I don't care? And he's like, no. And they both throw up their hands exasperated, and Feeny starts teaching class, class. As we continue our study of feudalism, I would like to focus today on the life of the serf. Sean raises his hand and Feeny calls on him and he says, I don't wanna. And Feeny replies, you don't wanna what? And Sean says, boring. It's boring, he stands. That's why the whole feudalism thing didn't work out. They got bored out of their freaking minds. Corey stands also and tries to like awkwardly push him down back into his seat. And he's like, what? And Corey's like, that's too far. And Sean continues, just once, I would like to learn something that's somewhat relevant to our lives. Angela goes, Sean, shut up. I say this with love. And Topanga whispers, what is the matter with you? He says, nothing. Now, why don't you stop being so crazy and sit on Corey's lap? Feeny goes, Mr. Hunter, we will discuss your outburst at the end of the class. Sean says, cool. So let the boredom begin. And then go do, 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 like a mouth trumpeting thing. Feeny says, Mr. Hunter, please leave. Sean gets up and goes, okay, but only because you asked me so nicely. They all watch him go. And then Corey raises his hand and starts, Mr. Feeny, can I? And Feeny's like, go. And Corey follows him out. That is the end of the scene.
Yeah, also very out of character for Sean. I know that he doesn't like class.
Yeah.
He doesn't like school to begin with, but he's not like a dick about it.
Yeah, he's not generally speaking outwardly this disrespectful.
Yeah, especially to Feeny of all people who helped him through stuff.
Right. On some level, he does respect Feeny. So it's out of character behavior for sure. I wonder what's going on with Sean right now.
It's almost like Corey was out of character earlier and something was wrong.
I wonder what's going on. I guess we'll find out in the next scene.
I really appreciate real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
I have one more note, but I really liked that whole segue. I really just like Feeny also allowing Corey to just leave.
Yeah, it's nice.
Because he's like, something's wrong with him. Can you just go figure it out? And the fact that he's like, yeah, fine, go.
Yeah, go.
I just like that.
It's fine. It's nice. I love it too. Okay, next scene for real. We're in the apartment. The boys walk in. Corey is visibly frustrated. Sean goes straight to the fridge and grabs a beer. Corey's like, are you kidding me? Sean says, I'm sorry. Did you want one? Corey says, you get kicked out of class. You fight me all the way home. You puke on my shoes and you still want another beer? Sean says, why don't you go home, Corey, the monitor? You know what? I could have sworn we agreed to stop drinking, says Corey. Sean laughs. Yeah, well, I've been drinking all week and you haven't noticed a thing. Corey asks, you've been drinking all week? Sean says, yeah, I'm doing this for you. See, if you're worried about me, you stop thinking about Topanga. By the way, she's getting out of school right now. Why don't you go across the street from her and cry? Corey just says, what? And Jack then walks in, sees he's drinking and says, what are you doing? Sean goes, it's a beer. What's the big deal here? Jack just looks at Corey for an explanation and he says, we got drunk at a party the other night. I think he might have liked it a little too much. Jack says, yeah, well, beer is a big deal for us. Sean goes, oh, goody, goody. Now I get the lecture from the big brother who I've known all of 6 months. Jack goes, you don't have a clue, do you? Sean's like, about what? And Jack says, about dad. And Sean replies, yeah, dad used to drink. Then he stopped. Next, Jack says, you know why he stopped drinking? Sean goes, because he ran out of money. Jack asks again, you know why my mom left him? Sean goes, because she went for a guy with more money? Jack yells, she left him because he was an abusive, ugly drunk. Sean grabs Jack and yells, don't you ever talk about my father. They start sort of like fighting on the couch. Corey jumps in and tries to pull him off. Jack sort of pulls him up and they're both standing now and says, he's my father too, man. Alcoholism is in our family and you shouldn't drink. The girls have walked in at this point and Angela goes, Sean? And Corey says, after the other night, Sean, I feel like I can never drink again. Topanga goes over to him. You were drinking? Sean says, yeah. What do you think that was about? I wonder. Corey jumps in. You know what, Sean? Shut up, okay? We agreed to stop drinking. I have. You obviously haven't. Jack says, what do you think that's about? I wonder. Corey whispers to Topanga, and by the way, I happen to have been an adorable drunk. You should have seen me. She says, I did. You weren't. And this isn't about us. Angela says, Sean, it's okay. Look, we can talk about anything. If there's a problem, we can figure out what to do. He laughs. Nobody's listening to me, okay? I drink this stuff, picking up the bottle, because I like it. It makes me feel good. He starts tapping the bottle like it's a microphone and says, hello, hello, is this thing on? I have no problem. Angela says, okay, maybe we don't have to talk about this in front of everybody. Let's just go out into the hall. She kind of starts to like grab his hand to pull him and he shrugs her off and then shoves her pretty hard into the door that's behind her saying, don't. There is a beat of silence and she says, I don't like it that you drink. Call me when you don't. She leaves the apartment. Topanga pushes past them and follows her out. Sean turns to Jack and Corey, visibly like upset, and says, "How did that just happen?" And that is the end of the scene. It's so serious.
There's
you
so
guys.
Much about this scene that I was like, "Oh my god!"
I know, it just keeps going.
Yeah, man. Sean having a full pack of beer. I was thinking, like, for him to already be at the point that he is, how he said that he'd been already drinking for a week and he hadn't even noticed, like, Corey hadn't noticed. He has to have been drinking a ton each day. And also, where did he get the money for that? Is my question. I think the entire... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because Jack was surprised that he had the beer, but is he surprised that the... Because in theory, Jack and Eric might be old enough to drink at this stage.
Yeah.
It's unclear. Nobody really celebrates birthdays.
They just don't exist.
There was like one when he turned 16 and it was a weird thing.
Yeah.
But like, it's possible that they have beer in the house.
Yeah.
But also, the way Jack picked it up and looked at it, like, what is this? I don't know if they do. So I don't know. Maybe he's... got secret money. Like, maybe his dad is sending him money sometimes. Because, like, they do stuff. They're teenagers.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a job, obviously.
Right. It was just interesting to me. I was like, that's a lot of alcohol.
It is, yeah, for him to have been drinking.
Yeah. But I think the thing that I pulled out of this entire thing is just, it's very upsetting to me and also everybody about seeing Sean this way. Because he's also just a mean drunk, which I feel like is one of the worst things that you can be.
Yeah, he's being really sarcastic, really deriding.
He's just like, he's hitting people where it hurts too, which is one of the worst things. And I feel so bad for Jack in this scene. Because like, we don't know a lot about Jack's life.
No.
Really? Mm-mm. He kind of just appeared in an episode and was like, "I'm your brother." And then it was like, okay. And I think it's wild to then also drop this plot point of like, you like, he knew what Chet was like, and it's very sad to have that personal perspective, because like, an abusive drunk and mean drunk out of like everything, like, that's terrible. And
and it's also not how we've ever seen Chet. Like, we've seen him as deeply irresponsible, but like, he clearly loves Sean like so much.
Yeah.
And he's like, generally speaking, we've always seen him trying what he feels like is his best.
Yeah.
And so to also hear that, like, there was this other side of him before we knew him of, like, he was an abusive, mean drunk, like, that sucks.
Yeah. And then for, like, Sean to kind of shrug it off before, like, he gets to that point and, like, just saying that his mom left for more money because, like, we know that Jack is wealthy or, like, his family is. But it's, like, Sean also never knew that type of Chet, to our knowledge. And so he only knew his mom leaving, and, like, that was his pain. So for it to be, like, hey, this is why he's not even... part of our family anymore, and for him to say that, and then for Sean to immediately flip and then get aggressive and violent with it, I was like, oh my god, like, what is going on? And I felt very bad. And yeah, like, alcoholism is no joke either. And I feel like it was really good of ABC Family to like also touch on that.
For sure.
Which, by the way, trivia fact, this is one of the banned episodes on Disney Channel because of everything in this episode.
Yes.
And I get why now.
Well, they can't support like any sort of underage drinking. I mean, even though the obviously the lesson is like, don't underage drink, right? Like, that's
well, it's that
clear.
And like alcoholism and abuse and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
we're
gonna touch on a lot of things that are deep familial problems. But yeah, I feel like Sean is just lashing out. It's very mean. I didn't really like when Corey was trying to flip it all of a sudden in that one moment of like, I was cute. And Topanga's like, you were not. I was watching you. Like,
he was kind of though.
Yeah. But it was like in that moment. They were all like talking about the alcoholism. He's like, by the way, I was cute. I was like, shut up, Corey.
Yeah, that's not the time.
But Angela trying to help and then just having that moment at the end, I was like, oh no.
I know, man, Angela and Sean are so interesting, because this I will say is a little bit of foreshadowing to like later stuff in the ways that Sean deals with things and the ways that Angela deals with things, not specifically the shoving and the violence, but just like Angela is always trying to balance out Sean. And I love that, because it does really feel like they have an understanding of each other that other people don't really get.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, it's not her responsibility to fix him, you know?
No, like, Sean just has a ton of problems.
Yeah.
Pre-existing, but also ones that we're learning about, clearly. And it's like, hey, he is not your responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, you love him. You're going
to
try to help
him.
There's one line, I think it was Corey, but he's like, or no, it was Sean saying like, I don't have a problem. I was like, yeah. If you say that you don't have a problem, you definitely do have a problem.
You clearly have a problem. Yeah,
extremely.
Yeah.
This is like a weird intervention that like wasn't planned. It's just happening. And they're like, mm-hmm. Hey, Sean, maybe you stop. And he's like, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
No, you're
screaming.
You're
I'm fine.
You're like the only one laughing or like trying to make it like, oh, I'm jokey. Just having fun. Everyone's yeah. very concerned for you. Mm-hmm. You're not fine.
Yeah. I also really like that Angela is like, I'm out. Like, she's very much like, I'm not dealing with
like,
this.
Like, yes, you leave. You go. You don't... Yeah. That's yeah. not your problem anymore.
It's not. No, it's not your problem to fix. But I also think it's very interesting that the moment with Jack did not wake him up to being, like, abusive or, like, rageful, right? But the moment with Angela did... As soon as it happened, he was like, shit, what did I do?
Well, and I think it was very reflective. Like, he didn't really take it in. He just, like, lashed out when
yeah,
Jack said like, the thing of, like, hey, yeah. our dad was abusive to my mom mm-hmm. when he was drinking. And then, like, he yeah. literally did an abusive thing while drinking. Yeah. And it was like, shit.
yeah.
But also,
yeah.
I mean, he, like, loves Angela, too. And he's not necessarily had the deepest of relationships with Jack. So I feel like I'm hurting someone that I do care about and love.
Right.
And that's hurting me.
The way that it happened was, like, so insane. Like, there was a moment even a little bit earlier in the scene where he just sort of like swings his arm off to like get her from touching him basically. And then for him to, again, it was instinctual. Like he didn't even really think about the fact that he was shoving her. He was just like, get off me, you yeah. know?
Well, and for him to then say that after like, what just happened?
Right.
Or you have a problem, my guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I love it. It's so good. It's so juicy. There's so much. I'm just doing squeezing motions with my hands. You can't see me. Okay, so the next scene, we are in the Matthews kitchen. Alan is washing dishes when he sees Sean walk him to the back door. Side note, I'm almost positive that they have a dishwasher. So it's very funny that he's washing dishes by hand. Because I feel like I've seen it. Anyway, Sean knocks respectfully. And when Alan opens it, he says, hi, I just wanted to let you know that you don't have to worry about me having a drink anymore. But if you want me to stay away from Corey because of all the other idiot stuff I do, I understand. Alan smiles and invites him in. You know, I wouldn't want two friends to be kept apart. When I said that, I was under the influence of alcohol. Sean asks, you were drunk too? And Alan says, no, you were. And so was Corey. And I didn't like seeing you that way. Sean says, yeah, that seems to be the general consensus. Alan nods and Sean continues, so when can Corey come out and play? Corey's up the stairs and says, can I, Dad? Huh? Can I? And he like sits on the steps like a little kid. And Alan asks, what month is it? And Corey says, it's still March. Alan shrugs, sorry, Sean. Maybe next time you won't be so easily influenced by your rotten friends. He says this sort of like lovingly at Corey, like grabbing his little face, and then gives Sean a loving little chest tap and leaves the kitchen. Sean says, yeah, well, he's the only one I got. Corey asks, Angela hasn't called back yet, huh? And he says, no, she won't return my messages. I picked a fine time to quit drinking. Corey smiles and he continues, yeah, I've got a lot of apologizing to do. And there's like a quick transition, but we'll call that a scene.
I really like in the like these types of moments that Sean and Alan have.
Yeah.
Because they're few. Oh, like there's a handful of them, right? Mm-hmm, but like it's really cool to see Sean being with like a parental figure that actually cares and like will talk to him in like yes. a way, like because he respects him.
Yes.
And I love whenever Sean just doesn't have anybody telling him to go talk to people and it's just yes. like, I'm gonna go take accountability for something that I did and talk as an adult. Mm-hmm. Even when like, his friends aren't around. Like, he's not afraid of confrontation, and I really like that about Sean. Mm-hmm. At least, like, I mean, obviously there are some times where people are frightened or scared of confrontation, and yeah. Sean is definitely one of those people, but, like, at the same time, when it matters in this way, and, like, they're people that he respects and cares about.
Yeah, he figures it out, and he does the right thing.
Yeah, and it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool.
And I like them just having that moment, and I think it's funny that Corey's sitting in the way that he is, like, grounded, obviously, but... Because he should be.
Yes, yes, of course.
But yeah, I don't know. I like this as kind of a little closure bit, at least from one perspective. Like, the first person yeah. that he goes to apologize to is the person that, like, first saw him that way, and that's mm-hmm. cool.
Mm-hmm. It's the best. I love the show so much. Okay, the next scene is such a silly little moment. Okay, Phoebe's classroom. Sean is holding out an apple to him, and he says, an apple? Are you kidding me? So funny the way he says it. It's really great. And the next thing that happens is also great. Sean says, what I did in class yesterday was so out of line. If you won't accept my apology, then I want you to have this $12. It's so funny. It's so cute the way he says it. He starts pulling money out. It's really, really funny. Like, please just, if you're going to watch any part of this episode, watch this scene. It's so funny.
Well, because he kind of says it in, like, a monotone-ish way. Yeah. Of, like, if you don't do this, I you will accept my money
like
instead.
Like, it's rehearsed. So funny. Phoebe says, this is sweet though. Phoebe says, the only thing of value for me, Mr. Hunter, would be to know that you're all right. Are you all right? And Sean says, yeah. Yeah, I'm all right. My brother and I decided to go talk to this guy who's going to help us understand how to deal with this. Phoebe says, good for you, Sean. That's the right thing to do. Sean turns around and Topanga is there. He starts Topanga and she says, I know you're sorry. I got the card and the fruit basket. It was missing an apple, by the way. He turns back to Phoebe, who hands him the apple, which he hands to her. She takes it and offers her cheek for a kiss, which he does. Corey then walks in and Sean asks how he's doing. He says, hey, want to hang out 2 weeks from Thursday? Sean says, I'll be there. Corey sits down and goes, good morning, Topanga. I still love you. And she says, we can't start the day like this, Corey. And she says, well, I don't care what you think. She goes, fine. He says, fine. And she just makes the most insane face. Sean catches Angela at the door as she's trying to come into class and says, hi. She says, hi. He says, I don't like me when I drink either. And she softens, good, because I sure like you when you don't. He steps aside to let her walk into class and she sort of grabs his hand lovingly and they both sit down. And that is the end of the episode in full. There's no end credits.
I love that there was no end credits. Yeah. I was like, please don't try to make a, like whenever they have these big episodes, mm-hmm. I'm like, don't do something gimmicky at the end that is gonna detract from it, because I feel like there was one episode where that did happen and both of us were like, this was not needed. I don't remember what it was, but it was like something that was a serious episode.
It was one of the Lauren episodes, because they did the like what's it called at the end,
the
citizenship thing at the end.
They're like not needed. It's just
so not needed.
That whole story wasn't needed, but like whatever. Yeah, I like Sean being on the apology tour in this mm-hmm. moment, because obviously like there were a lot of people that he was hurt. Very direct to and hurt in multiple ways. And so it's very funny to start with Feeny. And I love that, again, Feeny having nothing to do with this episode besides just being the teacher. Like, mm-hmm. he's not giving advice, he's not doing anything. I love when he can flip it and be like, I got you this teacher or this apple, which is like what teachers typically have. Teachers, no.
Are you kidding me?
It's very good. I like that all he cared about, though, was like Sean just being okay. Like for him to admit that, too. And that's always been Feeny's thing, is like, I'm never mad at you. I just like want you to be fine.
Yeah.
I really like, and I like that Sean and Jack are going to see somebody about it. Like that mm-hmm. line was just very, it stuck out to me, because I'm like, yeah, you should go to counseling or like therapy anyway when like you're going through that stuff. But like to also just know that and be like, hey, as a family, we have this problem that's in our family and mm-hmm. we would like to figure that out.
Yes. Take care of it together.
Very good. We always say go to therapy, and this is like one of the first times where they actually go to therapy.
They're actually doing therapy. You're so right.
I think it's very wild for also for Corey to be like, I still love you. Just right to
it's
Topanga,
so,
right
it's
at
such
the beginning.
Insane behavior.
And then for them to just like kind of bicker and fight, but like in a funny way, is very funny. Cause then I'm like, I want you to be together. I know that like you can't, but like be together, please.
And they clearly want to be, because like this is such a couple argument to have. Like, well, I don't care what you think. Fine.
He says, I still love you. She's like, we can't start the day like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the little Angela and Sean makeup. Because it's not, I don't know. It's just, I love to see them figuring it out too, and like serious issues and dealing with things. And it's just nice.
And they're so sweet together too. Like she grabs his hand as she's walking. Like he like lets her into class, sort of just like flourishes, like after you sort of gesture. And then she grabs his hand and like sort of like puts it on her shoulder, and they just like both sit down and they look at each other like very lovingly. It's so cute. And I just love them together so much.
Yeah. I love it. And I really love no post-credit scene. I like have that written down. I was like, yay.
It's really good. Yeah. It's the best when, because it's like, let the episode, like, let the moments, let the episode speak for itself. Like, we don't need a stinger.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like, so it's a very serious topic, like, throughout this mm-hmm. entire episode, that I feel like to ruin it
put
with
like
some
a
gimmick
gimmicky
thing
at, at the end, would sort of like lighten it when it doesn't need to be lightened. It's like very serious.
Yeah. Like, let us all just enjoy the fact that he's realized that he's wrong, and we're going to leave it at that. And they did.
Well, end of the episode, what was the lesson, Sid?
Hey, don't underage drink. But also the fact that alcoholism is a very serious disease. It's like a genetic chronic disease. So heck. Be careful with drinking, y'all. Like that's a big thing.
Oh, there was a thing that I just remembered that I wanted to say, which is Corey's desire to lessen his emotions with drinking is like a deeply relatable thing.
Yeah, for sure.
It is a thing that several people have done. I've certainly done it before. And so I really like that. In some ways, that was the catalyst for it. It was like, I just need to not be me. Like, I need to get out of my head. I need to get out of my body and just, like, do this thing so that I can be light and fun and easy. Because that's so relatable. Like, despite the fact that he should not have been underage doing it, right? But, like, that specific desire is so deeply relatable. And so I really like that they tackled it of like, this may be the thing that you want to do, but it's never the right choice.
Yeah.
Like, it's not actually going to solve your problems in the end.
Well, and I think what they also touch on with it, like that was the start, like how you said.
Yeah.
But it's like, even when people have problems, it's like one drink can lead to so many other things mm-hmm. after. And like, you don't know that when like you first have the drink.
Right.
But I feel like in our society, especially, drinking is extremely casual in some ways and can be very easy to overindulge and like get a drink after drink after drink.
Yeah.
Cause it is easy. Like I've done that before where I'll be at the bar and then be like, oh, it's my third drink all of a sudden. And then it's, I don't know. Like it gets very fast or like, oh, take another shot or like have fun, do this. And it's great. But at the same time, it's like, you don't need to.
Yeah. It's a thing people like especially with like as a society with no third spaces, like you're constantly just like drinking in the context of hanging out.
Yeah.
And it's like I just came to be with my friends and also I guess we're drinking too, which is like fine, but also can lead to other things that you're maybe not anticipating or wanting.
Yeah. And I know for me in college specifically, when I first started, because I didn't really drink in high school, I had like two sips of something and I felt so weird about it and I was just right, go to college. And so when I was in college, then it was like starting to drink. And then there were certain friends that I could only hang out with if like we were drinking,
mm-hmm.
either in two ways, either the friends like always wanted to, or like I didn't feel like I could actually talk to them unless we were in a party environment. Right. And that is, they're both bad.
Yeah.
When it's just like, that's the only thing that you want to do.
Right.
Cause that, then it's not friendship. And I would just like to hang out with people, but
yeah.
But again, very common because that's just your, with like beer or just drinks in some places mm-hmm. being also very cheap. And then you're like, oh, I'll just, you know, get like a pack of this and then just keep drinking it. Like it can be a lot.
Yeah. It's very easy to just like fall into, not to be all like anti-drinking PSA here.
I'm super not anti-drinking either.
No, we love drinking.
I love drinking. And
but, you know, be responsible.
I think I was realizing that on my soapbox. I realized that like during dry January too, because I partook in that just for kicks. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I don't feel great. And I drank a lot over the holidays. So like, I'll stop. And I would have to think about times that I would drink a lot. And it was always, okay, if I was watching reality TV, get a bottle of wine. That's always my thing.
Yeah.
And it's just easy to just like have a half of a bottle or even like sometimes a full bottle I'm really feeling it. Like if The Bachelor's bad or like if something's going wrong, I'm like, let me just pour another glass of red. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't need that. I don't know why I was just doing that, but it felt very easy. And I think it's because they make it easy.
Yeah, you just kind of fall into it sometimes. Yeah.
But yeah, that being said, I'm going to a brewery after this to go play trivia with some friends and I will be drinking. So I'm not anti-drinking.
Yeah.
It's easy to just keep falling into a pattern and just be mindful of it. That's the lesson.
Yeah. The lesson is be mindful.
Like that.
Love that. Hey, welcome to the end of the podcast.
Oh,
we're here.
Final trivia thing. Or just a note. There, this is one of the four episodes that Will Friedle is not in at all.
Oh, yeah. I remember thinking about that. I was like, oh, Will's not in it.
And it's funny to watch Matt Lawrence be in it as Jack and then like
not have Eric. I know. I had that exact moment. I was like, where's Eric right now?
Normally they're a package deal or they're doing something.
They are normally together.
Anyway, if you'd want to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at The Lost Years Pod. We share when episodes drop, and I was thinking about that like messages thing if we wanted to try to get nostalgia back that way, and that way like people could try to be in the show.
Oh, like the voice memos?
Yeah. And again, this would rely on people actually wanting to participate, but like I think
feel free to leave us a message.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be really fun. Mm-hmm. If you go on our anchor.fm/lostyearspod, you can go on our page and then leave us a voice message. Just sharing your nostalgia. You're more than welcome to do it in other ways, but I thought it'd be fun if y'all want to be involved. Because some people are like, I would like to be on a podcast. I've definitely felt that way before. And then I'm like, how do I be on the podcast? That's an easy way to be on the podcast.
It's an easy way to do it. You can also email us your nostalgia at thelashespod@gmail.com. We'll read your email on the show. Like this email from our friend Brian, who said, what I'm nostalgic for this week is that Land Rider Elite bicycle infomercial. It'd come on every Saturday on NBC right after Saved by the Bell and right before the Gravity Games in the summer. Me and my younger brother would watch it every week and try to see if it changed from the week before. They had one of the best shingles ever, which if one of you want to sing it, here's how it goes. I don't know it, so I'm not going to sing it. But the lyrics are, I don't need a ride to go my way. I've got magic in my wheels, power in my heels. I don't need a ride to go my way, which I now really want to look up.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And we would own in for... And we would own in for 8 easy payments of $39.99. But if you act now, we'll throw in the Land Rider bicycle seat cover free of charge. Just pay shipping. Hope you enjoyed my nostalgia. Have a good day. Thank you, Brian. Thanks, I did Brian. Enjoy it. I have no idea what you're talking about, but we are going to definitely look that up.
Yeah, I think there are certain infomercials when you just started reading the price. I was thinking about the ones that, you know, would wake me up at night or
yes, yes.
just things that I would commonly see on TV where I was like, I want that so bad. And
absolutely.
For just 6 installments. Of $19.99.
8 easy payments of $19.99.
Like, all right.
8 payments of $40 is so crazy.
For
that's
a bike?
So much money. For a bike.
That's...
8 times 4?
$320 for
yeah,
a bike.
Yeah, $320.
In the 90s?
That's so much money in the 90s. That's probably like $1,000 in the 90s.
$820 in the
we don't 90s. Know if it was for sure the 90s.
I looked up Land Rider and that was like...
Oh, it was the 90s? Super 90s?
I mean... It's worth $751 today. Jesus.
Good God. Yeah, so like almost $1,000. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's too much for a bike. What are y'all doing?
So much for a bike. but yeah, thank you so much for sharing, Brian. You can also rate us and write a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, Chartable.
True.
Is that a thing? And subscribe wherever you get podcasts. It helps us out, helps you find the show, and it's a kind thing to do. It'll stop the headache I've had for 4 days.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Bad
I think
time.
It's because it's just because I got my nose pierced, I'm pretty sure. But it won't stop and it hurts really bad.
You know what? Also that the weather has gone from like 60 degrees
yeah.
to 20 degrees,
the pressure.
Back to 60 degrees. So like it could be that.
Maybe it's that.
I've had weird pressure headaches.
For sure. That sounds about right. It's 60 degrees here in Chicago today.
It's gonna be 28 on Saturday here.
Yeah.
And I'm
it's
like,
about to be cold again here
no.
too. It's so stupid. It's like, I mean, it's not the earth is dying,
pick
right?
A,
like
a lane.
It's not the earth's fault, but like come on. It's February. This is weird.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know what else is weird? The Scavengers Network. But thank you to have for them to have us on the network. Thank you to the Scavengers Network for
that's
having us
awesome.
On the network. You can check out other cool shows there, like James and Aaron Minute Movies and Side Character Quest on www.scavengersnetwork.com.
.com. If you want to find me individually, I am on the interwebs at Taycrow, basically on all the places except for Twitch, where I'm twitch.tv/itstaycrow. In theory, I am going to do one stream before the end of the month.
Okay.
That's the plan. We'll see what happens. It's probably, I'm going to try to do Fortnite, but I doubt it'll be Fortnite.
When this episode drops, you'll have like 3 days left if you haven't streamed mm-hmm. by then. So
exactly.
Good clock for yourself.
Good luck to me.
You see that episode drop? Be like, I haven't streamed yet. Be like, I gotta do it.
Shoot, I gotta do it. So yeah, check me out on the interwebs. That's where I am.
Cool. I am everywhere on social at Sudsley. So still technically Twitter and Blue Sky and Instagram and Threads and TikTok and also Twitch. Yep.
Yep. All right, both of us have places to be this evening, so we have to go.
Gotta go. But,
thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
You're Tay.
You're Sid.
Just like it's always been.
What else do you need to know?
Goodbye, fam.
Bye, fam.
Go to therapy.
The Scavengers Network.
Creator driven, community focused, treasured content.
Do you wish your life was a little more spooky?
Hi, everybody. My name is Jordan Reed.
And I'm Lindsay Reed.
And this is Spooky Spouses, a podcast about ghosts and stuff.
Tall tales.
If you ever want to find out if a psychic is real or not, commit a crime and then go to them and ask about the crime.
Cryptid technology.
That's why we can't find Bigfoot, because they don't have trackers. They don't have these apps that are like, here I am, go into the ice cream store later.
Scary stories.
You know what you're going to do?
What?
Crap your pants.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Numbers in general.
I just hear or see numbers and my brain shuts off.
You can find brand new episodes of Spooky Spouses every week, wherever you get your podcasts. Excuse me. Part of the Scavengers Network.